Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Before Christmas, some of us supported a project Abby told us about, which is sending shoeboxes of Christmas gifts to Romania. And I know of another church that does this every year to another country in Eastern Europe. And one year, in their shoeboxes sent to this church, they included in every shoebox one of these. They thought it'd be a nice Christmas tradition to include for every family on the receiving end. About 3 weeks afterwards, they got a letter from the pastor of this church in Eastern Europe saying, thank you so much for all the amazing shoeboxes and the presents which have blessed our church family so much. And thank you also, he wrote, for the holly plants, which you said, the scent, with the ball of earth underneath each one. We've been watering them for the last few weeks, but sadly, they've all died. There is a big difference, but not always an obvious difference, between one of these, a dead plant, and one of these. Something that is alive. It's a difference that Paul, the writer of the letter to the Colossians, I suggest, wants to tell his church, not only in Colossae in the first century, but in Peckham in 2018, and wherever God's church is, and whatever part of the world, saying there is a big difference between a church which has Jesus as a decoration and a church which is actually alive and growing. Are you growing? Am I growing? God's word in Colossians, which we're looking at this new year, gives us, as it were, if you like, a spiritual checkup to ask this question and to give us the good news. The scriptural word for good news is gospel. There is good news that not only does God's word give us this checkup or audit, whether Jesus is like this, a decoration, or actually whether we are, as it says in chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and growing and strengthened in him, whether we're one or the other. Good news is that if we find, actually, I'm just going through the motions, I'm singing songs rather than worship, praying prayers that are words that aren't really from here, I'm going to church, but like the psalmist once experienced, my heart isn't in it. The good news is that God has a heart. He's got a relentless love. He's got an amazing grace. He's got the power of the Holy Spirit that wants to restore us again, as he has been doing from day one with the church in Colossae. He gives us, in his words, this new year, as it were, a spiritual checkup. God gives us, in Jesus and his Holy Spirit, everything we need to be alive and well in him. If you haven't done so already, would you like to open your Bibles, if you've got them there, on page 1182. And we find here a letter written to a church that's alive and well. Verse 3, Paul, who's never actually been, he thanks God for them. He thanks God for this church. His friend, his fellow servant, he's a name called Epaphras, who, like Paul, was an evangelist. He'd planted this church some years before. Verse 7, the people receiving this letter, they receive the good news of Jesus from our dear fellow servant Epaphras. And like a sower planting seeds, Epaphras has sown the seeds of the gospel. And they've grown. They're bearing fruit, as they are, verse 7, all over the world. This is what the church in Colossae is like. It's growing. It's rooted in Christ. It's doing well. It's not having Jesus as a decoration. He's actually making a difference. But there's a threat to this life in the church. Some false teachers have infiltrated them, and they are claiming special powers, a special knowledge that's subtly removing the church from relying on Jesus alone. Now, this is called heresy. The word heresy, have you heard it? It means false teaching. A name commentators give to this particular heresy is Gnosticism, which means a knowledge of a certain kind that we're going to see in later chapters is introducing all sorts of other things, like human ceremonies and worship of another kind, subtly moving the church, tempting the church to move away from Jesus. So Paul is praying for them, that they will continue growing. And he gives them and us some vital life signs. And we're looking at verse 10. Can you see verse 10? He gives here some vital life signs for you and me to ask God, well, are we growing, rooted in Christ? Or actually, are we not? Subtly, Jesus has just become a decoration. First life sign, number one, verse 10, that you are bearing fruit in every good work. My sprig of plastic holly, it's never going to bear fruit. This plant, as long as I look after it, it will. Plants bear fruit. The Christian life, the life rooted in Jesus, is meant to bear fruit. If you were with us last term, we were thinking about that. And just as a banana plant or a banana tree, I'm not quite sure, just tell me afterwards what the correct terminology is, shows its identity by bearing fruit. That's a banana, yeah? We say, that's a banana tree or a banana plant. That's its identity. In the same way, the church, the Christian life, bears the fruit of Jesus. That's our identity. It's Jesus expressing his personality through your personality. Does this make sense? Just as the banana is the fruit of the identity of the tree, Jesus wants to work his personality. All he is love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his goodness. So the works that you do, whatever you do in life, whatever you do, they are good works, and they will be, verse 10, if the Holy Spirit is in partnership with you in everything you do. Let's make this extremely practical. Tomorrow morning at this time, 11:16, okay, Monday morning, tomorrow, what are you doing? Just think about that. You're saying, I haven't a clue what I'm doing. Well, okay, what were you doing at 11:16 last Monday? Okay, can you think of that? I tell you what, if you've only got a minute for this, but tell your neighbor what you're probably doing, anything at all. If it's illegal, you might not want to tell them. You might want to change your mind. But if, as long as it's legal, tell them. Okay, have you got something? Yeah. Okay, now I don't know what it is, but as long as it's legal, as long as it's not inherently sinful, there's some way, and it might be really difficult, you might not have a clue how this could happen, but that Jesus wants to make a difference to the way you do that thing. Does this make sense? Paul's going to unpack this a bit later in Colossians, we're hearing about. He says in a later chapter, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as serving the Lord and not men. I'll tell you what I'm doing at 11:16 tomorrow. I am going to Croydon to a garage. It's called, what's it called? It's called Diesel Injectors Limited. But the name that my wife and I give it is Last Chance Saloon. Right? It's the Last Chance Saloon for our camper van, who's called Mildred, as you might have picked up if you have been here over the years. And anyway, it's the Last Chance Saloon for her. Now, the way that I talk with the mechanic, especially if he says, there's no hope, son, there's no hope. Especially if he says that. The way that I deal with him could be Christ-like, or it might not be. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, Jesus wants to be a part of it, expressing his identity through your life. Jesus has brought us into his kingdom, where we become answers to the prayer he taught. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, in your garage that you go to, in whatever you said you are doing tomorrow. Someone I know very well has a job interview at 11:16 tomorrow. I think it will have started by then. They do not go alone into that interview. It's the presence of Jesus' Holy Spirit making a difference in the way you act and react. Now, is this true for us at 11:16 tomorrow and 11:17 and every day, every minute? In the church in Colossae, Paul's prayer for them and for the church in Peckham in 2018 is that more and more God's Holy Spirit is at work so that you are bearing fruit in good works God prepared in advance for you to do. In conversations that you have, as Jenny was encouraging us to pray, for people, a good work would be to invite them in a good way to Alpha. For example, whatever you do, when Jesus is a decoration, the Holy Spirit is talked about and sung about, but is irrelevant the rest of the week. Where Jesus is alive in anyone's life, who he has rescued, verse 13, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, where Jesus is alive, that's all the difference in the world between a decoration and a living faith. Sign one, Jesus is at work in whatever we do. And when that happens, there's sign two. Look back at verse 10. You're growing in the knowledge of God. Can you see that? Verse 10. What does that mean? Paul isn't talking just about knowing more about God. He's not talking about getting an A star in a theology exam only. It's a very good thing to study God's word, to learn more about God. But this isn't only what growing in the knowledge of God is about. He's talking about the life that's experiencing Jesus' help and power at 11:16 on Monday mornings, little by little, step by step. I'll give you an example of what growing in the knowledge of God is like. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples in the power of the Spirit that bring his teaching and his healing to others. They go out in fear and trembling, and they return with joy, having grown in the knowledge of God. What have they done? They've experienced him. It's a bit like this. You can say a good lecture about a banana, and you'd know whether it grows on a plant or a tree, if you're an expert. Or you can actually do this. The two aren't mutually exclusive. We grow in our knowledge about God and grow in our experience. Never talk with your mouth full. Sorry. Should have learned that. We learn more about God as we taste and see that the Lord is good. Now that could just be like an empty word. God, save us from empty words. Save us from going through the motions. You have rescued us to be signs of your kingdom. You have rescued us from the dominion of darkness where words are empty and life is meaningless, to the kingdom of the Son, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, where in the power of the Spirit, all we do is fruitful if Jesus is at work. The disciples return with joy because they see God working through them. In the church in Colossae, they're growing in knowledge because God is working through them. The great thing about the garage that I mentioned in Croydon, it's not only going to diagnose the problem with Mildred, but possibly, by the grace of God, fix it. With Jesus, we have one who is the perfect human mechanic. He diagnoses the problem where we are falling short, and he has fixed it. He has already rescued us, verse 13. Verse 12, he has qualified us. God is the amazing giver of gifts. He wants us to receive more of his Spirit. The great Bible teacher, Alec Mateer, said this, that the greatest saints are the greatest receivers. Have I received God's help and empowering, that we could be more fruitful at 11:16 on Monday mornings, that we could experience more of him and grow in his knowledge. Sign 3 of a life which has Jesus growing them up rather than Jesus as a decoration. Verse 11. It's a life strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Have you noticed how tiring life is? I get quite tired, and I don't have any young children to look after. Whether you have or not, you get tired. Jesus got tired. Welcome to the human race. Whether you're bought into the kingdom of Jesus or not, tiredness is a universal experience. But Jesus meets us in that. And he gives patience and endurance to refresh us and restore us again. A great hope, two great hopes we heard for 2018, to be overcomers and to be healed. Those are things that Jesus is in the business of. The Holy Spirit of Jesus gives an endurance and a patience that's a different kind of strengthening from what the world gives. Jesus gives sleep, his word says, to those who love him. He promises encouragement, his word says, for those who seek him out. He gives strength to rise as on eagle's wings to those who wait on him, his word says. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in those who've received Jesus, his word says. He's in the business of giving patience and endurance. So you keep on. So that I keep on, keeping on. Four of the top growing companies in the world, I understand, are Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Interestingly, they spell FANG, apparently. Now, you might work for one of those companies, and Jesus wants to use you there at 11:16 tomorrow if you do, and every minute. And I'm not saying that of the devil, but they all sell stuff that can lead any of us, or certainly me, away from the strengthening of Jesus. It's easy to replace the life that Jesus gives, especially in the 21st century, with emotional hits that Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and lots of Google surfing. Loads of ways Jesus can use those things, but loads of ways you, certainly I, can be drawn away that we're actually being strengthened in an artificial way by emotional hits. Jesus wants you and me rooted in him to give us strength from of another kind. Life in Jesus' kingdom is being fruitful in the whole of your life. It's tasting and seeing and experiencing the help of Jesus' Holy Spirit. It's being renewed and refreshed by him. And final sign, verse 12. Can you see it? Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. In this exhausting world with so much to depress and disappoint us, just as it disappointed Jesus, he has rescued you from that dominion of darkness to put you in his kingdom, to remind you by his Spirit that your life has meaning, your past has been redeemed, your sins have been forgiven. He has lifted your life from the pit without denying anything wrong with the world and even in my heart. Jesus helps me not to lose heart because his kingdom has come, his will is being done. And with his help, I and you can be a part of that great enterprise, the greatest enterprise on earth. At our staff worship on Wednesday morning, we always have it, 8:45 here. What we're doing is this. We are asking God, in the light of these four tests, this spiritual checkup, God, is there any way we actually get paid for working here? Is there any way we're just going through the motions? What that means is not living in the kingdom in partnership with Jesus, but living by our own strength. No longer experiencing or even expecting God to work. God, save us from that. Have we lost our joy in this? God can restore it again. He is the great restorer, the great overcomer, the healer of souls. There's a lot in life that's less than glorious, that's exhausting, that actually is a part of God's calling on your life and mine. But the good news is that there is a glorious might on honor, the very on offer, the very power and strength in the person of Jesus to walk with you and me through 2018 in the power of his Spirit, that we might taste and see that in all our weakness, the Lord is good. God calls all his people to be all saints and to go out always in the power of his Spirit. So I'm going to finish with a prayer of confession. And if you recognize yourself, as I do, in any of these four signs of living in God's kingdom, where we need Jesus' help to be signs like this, bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge and experience of God, being strengthened in our tiredness, and having our joy restored. If you need any of that, I'm just going to invite you to hold out your hands. A full hand that's already carrying stuff can't receive. But the greatest saints are the greatest receivers. Lord God, we hold out our hands as a sign of our need of you. We recognize what Jesus meant when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. No good work is possible without your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we are sorry for the ways, anyway, we try to do your work in our own strength. We've tried to do your work in our own strength. Please forgive us. Secondly, we pray with sorrow for all the ways we've stopped growing in the knowledge and experience of you. Lord, renew us by your Spirit. Put us on good paths. Maybe to do something practical like join a Bible study, firing us up again. Getting involved with Alpha. Partnering with you at 11:16 tomorrow. We are sorry for any ways we've just forgotten to do that or forgotten it's even possible. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we bring to you our tiredness. I think every single person here gets this because we're human beings. And Jesus, you are too. And we approach your throne of grace with confidence. For you are not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Lord Jesus, help us to be restored by you in good ways, in healthy ways, in ways that keep us rooted in you. We are sorry for any way we've just made you a Sunday morning decoration. Please forgive us. And finally, we pray that you would restore our joy. Restore my joy. Restore my joy. Restore the joy of your church. This is the gift to those in your kingdom. There's so much that squeezes out our joy, but Lord Jesus, we are sorry for ways we have just got drowned in cynicism and disappointment. Thank you that your grace is endless. Your love is relentless. You died on a cross and rose again, giving the fruits of the joy of you to all who'd receive you. Forgive us where we haven't. As the worship bands come forward, and as we express our worship to God again this morning, if you have a specific prayer on this January the 7th, this first Sunday of 2018, that you'd like to seal with someone else in the name of Jesus, one way you can do that is by coming to our prayer ministry team that will be on my left, your right up here. Or if not, before you go, to pray with someone you trust that Jesus' forgiveness, which I'm going to declare now, would be received by you. May Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Forgive us again. Restore us anew. Fill us with this Spirit, that we might taste and see and live out that you, Lord, are good. That all your promises we can receive and act upon and be restored by. Thank you for your faithfulness.